abuse. Have you been in touch with their new, what is it, human rights?
Sure. Sandy Perry is part of our group and part of that group, so he's our more or less of a liaison. So
there is a certain, hopefully some kind of activity maybe brewing there.
I hope so.
Yeah.
And I think, a homeless person being harassed is police harassment, any way you look at it. So.
Are you... You know that in Berkeley and San Francisco, of course, there are some countervailing trends. In Berkeley, the ordinance Proposition O was largely overturned at the last couple of council meetings. That ordinance made sitting illegal, panhandling illegal, and it was pretty much turned back with a few minor exceptions in what was the first such reversal I've heard of in a long time, mainly because of a change in the composition of the Berkeley City Council. And, of course, you probably know about San Francisco this weekend when religious witness for the homeless is going to be sitting in up there at the Presidio.
That's going to be wonderful. Yeah, we'll be there.
Yeah, I think I may also be there.
Yeah, we're bringing a pretty good contingent from San Jose
with
that movement.
I'm probably going to bring, like, maybe two people at most from Santa Cruz down here, but I'm going to try to at least get up there with those folks.
Yeah, that should be a really lively event from what I've heard, and a lot of people, a lot of support, and a lot of people willing to do civil disobedience.
Well, maybe it's time to bring some flyers from San Jose educating the people in San Francisco as to what's going on in the largest city between San Francisco and, I guess, Los Angeles. San Jose is a huge city and one that I think really needs focus and that you guys have been struggling with for, 5 or 6 years now. I guess the other thing that's happening in San Francisco that I recently heard about through the Coalition on Homelessness is a new project and a new group. The group is called the Vehicularly Housed Residents Association. Have you heard about them?
No, I haven't.
And they've got a project called the Vehicularly Housed Residential Community. This is a group of people living in their vans and buses in San Francisco who were harassed last fall in the China Basin area, to which they had been driven by, of course, police raids and complaints by the merchants and Jordan's and Brown's Matrix campaigns. And now they have attempted to propose a program whereby they're being attacked in China Basin, or those attacks in China Basin started last September because apparently the city has in mind some sort of San Diego-style redevelopment of their port, and they want to drive all the homeless people out of the China Basin area.
Like I said, they're not welcome anywhere.
Right. In response, however, the community and those people living in vehicles have come to the Coalition on Homelessness, and attorney and activist Judy Appel up there has worked out a program that they're preparing, that they're running by the mayor, and some people in the mayor's office are sympathetic, though, Mayor Willie Brown, whitewash Willie, you can never tell which way he's going to jump, are proposing that they set up a site whereby there will be facilities provided for vehicles, so people living in their vehicles can go and, get water, and they have maybe a place to receive their mail, and a place to, their kids can play at a little playground, and it's a lengthy draft. I'll show it to you, I'll probably be seeing you on Sunday.
Yeah, sort of like car camping, I guess, huh?
It's like a car park.
Right.
And of course, it could be done in the Presidio in a week if they wanted to allow. They got all kinds of parking lots there, just like they have housing that's available if they wanted for homeless people. They have places where people could park their vehicles and actually live and be out of the way and not be the subject of complaints either from residents in San Francisco or from those concerned about redevelopment.
Well, I think if we've got opposition to the housing in the Presidio, it'd be pretty hard to get them to agree to car camping in the Presidio, for all the reasons that they say that, they don't want it at the Presidio.
And for all those reasons, I think that it's important that the groups come together to demand both of those things.
I know.
And maybe there was a Vehicular Residents Association in Santa Barbara a couple years ago, and they were fighting for rights, mostly of women and families living in vehicles. And this is, I think, a lot the case to some extent in San Francisco, where I spoke with a woman named Ginny Apollo, who is apparently a woman who lives in her vehicle. And I'm thinking maybe if you want to start circulating that idea around San Jose, you guys could link up with the San Francisco group and perhaps the Santa Barbara.
We asked the city council at the time that the armory closed, for a couple of things. We asked for, stopping of the police sweeps of the Guadalupe, because now the people discharged in the armory would probably go there, in various other places. So we asked that they stop the police sweeps. And secondly, we wanted them to declare a safe zone in the city, which would be sort of what you're talking about with the parking lot. And, of course, they you know, didn't have any interest in doing either one, you know. So they wouldn't give us a safe zone, you know, for people. Because there are people, Robert, sleeping in parking lots all over the city every night, you know.
Right.
Whether it's a church or 7-Eleven or wherever it is, I mean, there are just people sleeping out like that. And I think it's ridiculous the city doesn't have some kind of a safe place for them with the facilities. Like you said, I mean, they need bathrooms and access to storage facilities and everything else. But I'm telling you, the city doesn't want to budge.
Well, you know, maybe the Community Homeless Alliance should declare a safe zone themselves and support that. Wow, it's so much going on. Is there more you'd like to announce? I know you have a meeting. You want to announce when that's happening every Tuesday?
Yeah, our meetings are every Tuesday at 11 o'clock at First Christian Church, which is located at 80 South 5th Street between Santa Clara and San Fernando on 5th Street.
That's 11 o'clock every Tuesday at First Christian Church at 80 South 5th. And your phone number, if people want to get in touch with you?
Is 345-2353.
Great.
And that was Nancy Nichols of the Community Homeless Alliance in San Jose, for those who are interested in linking up with our neighbors in the larger city nearby. After we spoke to Nancy, we ran into Ann Turner, got her on the phone. She's another member of the Community Homeless Alliance, who's really been working double time to try to put San Jose in touch with other cities around the issues of anti-homeless laws as part of the California Homeless Civil Rights Action Network, which is a connection of homeless groups in different cities that tries to lend support to any one city that's experiencing harassment of homeless people, or on the other hand has a chance of a real positive homeless program and needs the support of faxing and letters and perhaps even personal protest support by folks in other cities. Ann's been working a lot on that, and here she is talking more about the situation in San Jose. To Ann Turner of the Community Homeless Alliance. Hi, Ann.
Hi.
So you not only work with the Community Homeless Alliance, you also work with another group?
Yeah, I work with San Jose Low Income Support Network.
And what do they think of this new sitting ban law? Has any information reached you on that?
Yeah, we all think it's pretty cruel. It's pretty stupid. We pay taxes in this country and can't even sit on the sidewalk anymore. Now they've gotten to where they're taking grocery carts and putting older folks' stuff on the ground and taking the carts and giving them a citation for $250.
How many people has this happened to that you know about?
About 10 people so far within a month's time.
Any friends of yours?
Yes, a lot of friends.
And what are they doing about it?
Well, there's not much they can do right now. We're planning on some more demonstrations and finding out what Mayor Hammer's going to do, because she's got to do something. This is her city.
Right. Well, I'm afraid that Mayor Hammer can just sit on her hands and do
that too, huh?
Yeah, do what she wants. I think we got to do something. Are you coming up the demonstration on Sunday to support recapturing the stopping the housing from being demolished up in San Francisco so it can be used for the homeless?
I sure am. I'll be there.
Wow.
Yeah, because I think this country needs to start taking back our government. We've let three people have this government too long. I don't think this is what our forefathers thought of when they did the Declaration of Independence. They didn't expect for us to be out in the street, no food, no shelter, people treating us like a bunch of animals.
What's the food situation in San Jose? I understand Food Not Bombs is starting up again.
I haven't heard anything about that. I
got a message from a fellow who said that every Saturday they're having some kind of a shindig in one of the parks.
Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah.
I know the last time they couldn't get a permit or something. Did Nancy tell you about the meeting at the church? They want to stop people from sleeping in the parking lot?
No, tell me about it.
Tuesday when we had our meeting, the Senior Citizen Center building across the street, and they had called the police because we've got about seven friends of ours that are sleeping in the park, I mean in the parking lot, because they're sweeping under the bridges and everything now every weekend. And so...
What does that sweep involve every weekend?
They go down under the bridges or wherever people sleep, and they take their belongings. They mark... it's an orange line around on the trees, and they tell people they can't go back down there, and they take their stuff, and they throw it in a dumpster. I've had to give friends of mine sleeping bags and stuff where the police have taken it and just gotten rid of everything, and they don't give anything back to the people that this stuff belongs to.
And how many people are being displaced in these sweeps, would you estimate?
I'd say about 100 people.
And so the meeting of the Community Homeless Alliance, I guess, which meets every Tuesday at 11 at the, what is it, First Congregational Church? First,
Yeah, it's First Christian Church.
First Christian Church.
80 South 5th Street.
The complaints were at that meeting by people across, by seniors across the street, that seven homeless people were sleeping in this rather large parking lot?
Right, right.
Were they sleeping out in the open, or were they sleeping in their vans, or what was it?
No, they're sleeping out in the open, but what they're doing is they're... sleeping against the far wall where nobody can see them. And we've got these kids, that's the reason why we got this fit line law, because we've got these kids that aren't even homeless. They're about 15, 16, and they come down there and they cause trouble. And after they've caused trouble, the senior citizens over there, they call the police. And when the police comes down, when they come down to the parking area, they make everybody leave.
So they hassle the homeless people, blaming people who aren't home because of people what people who aren't homeless have done. Huh?
Right, right.
Is the First Christian Church in the downtown area where it's illegal to sit now?
Yeah, it's illegal to sit any place.
Right. Well, I know it's illegal to sit within a 66 block area in the downtown. I mean, it's not illegal to sit in the suburbs, for instance, or.
Oh, no.
Outside the downtown area.
We're in the downtown area. We're right across from San Jose State University.
So what do the students think of this? Is there any kind of revulsion against this attack on the poor among at the university, or have you gotten any indication of that?
No, we haven't gotten any indication at this point right now. We've went over there and we've spoken to the students at different classes. The stereotyping of homeless people... the way the newspapers and the TV and everything describe homeless people, and then we come and we show them that the fastest growing number of homeless people are the working poor. Mm-hmm. My husband works 10 hours a day, and then he walks 25 miles to and from work.
He walks 25 miles?
A day, yes, because our van went out. And it costs $800 to get a motor.
How can he walk 25 miles? That isn't possible.
Yes, it is.
You mean he hitchhikes or he walks?
He walks.
Because your average walking speed is what? How long does it take him?
It takes him 3 hours.
Oh, wow. Amazing.
Well, see, he walks 12 and a half miles one way.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, it's not all one way.
So what kind of work does he do?
He's a... He's a sheet metal operator.
And unfortunately, that's all we have of Ann Turner at the moment. Getting back closer to Santa Cruz, every month, the second Monday of every month at 5:30 at City Hall, a group called the Citizens Police Review Board has its one public hearing per month. And the reason that's significant is because all the rest of the things the CPRB does is meet privately and essentially rubber stamp internal affairs, police complaints against the police department that have reached their board or the police department directly. Well, I was at the last board meeting, and I made a statement. I don't usually go to these board meetings, but I was asked to go by their staff member, Gary Yamane, because a number of the board members were new members, and Gary thought that perhaps they hadn't heard what I said repeatedly before I decided that the board wasn't listening and didn't care and was unlikely to listen in the near future. But I came anyway, and I gave this speech.
Board members, my name is Robert Norris, and I work with a group called HUF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, and with a group called SPAM, Stop Police Abuse Now. It's sort of a group that monitors police, takes complaints not just for city police, but also for security, posts, deputies, and so forth. We try to maintain a kind of a series of archives. so that the people who have complained at least know their complaints are being heard somewhere in some fashion. I just listened to David Silva's testimony before you here, and, you know, the response, and quite legitimately so in terms of the rules, is, oh, well, this is a pending complaint. That should resolve everything, right? No, that doesn't resolve anything, because that kind of process has failed us the last 2.5 years. That's the problem with the Citizens Police Review Board. Simply, you know, referring yourself to rules and regulations has resulted in going nowhere on this board. Specifically, well, I'm going to read you from the speech. This is, I think they've got some pertinent points for new members here. Last month, the City Council voted 4-2 to ratify Police Chief Steve Belcher's policy of withholding so-called inquiries from this board. Its decision to allow Belcher to pick and choose which offenses were minor and which weren't was not surprising. None of you, with the lone exception of staff member Gary Yamani, showed up for that debate to defend the rights of the accused. And indeed, the Police Review Board rarely, as I can see, gets the City Council meetings to talk about police abuse. And I think this is sad, because I don't think that by quiet diplomacy you can do much. I think the City Council has shown how it feels about police review. I'm going to get into that in more detail in this speech. I heard none of you there to speak out publicly and clearly on that issue, and more importantly, to speak out in the broader community on these issues. Simply referring to procedures is not going to result in any kind of justice for these people. It hasn't before, it's not going to now. The procedures are to simply rubber stamp and look over in private session internal affairs documents from which the public is excluded. That is not police review. Key members of the City Council have shown through their votes over the last 2 years and through their failure to take the initiative that they have no commitment to effective police review. You have to face this. You don't have support in City Council. We know that. But there is a broader community to which you can appeal. There are people who are being abused, whether the City Council wants to recognize it, or whether members of this board want to recognize it, or whether members of this board feel that they would like to recognize it but are precluded from regulations from recognizing it. You can still speak out as individuals. You can attempt to change those regulations. You can attempt to see justice can get done. The City Council deserted the community when we sought a mediation process that would not preclude complaints afterward. Now, if you mediate, you don't get to complain, unless you can show the mediation was in bad faith. That torpedoes mediation. They declined to back up the board and press the police department to use a workable standard of evidence for sustaining complaints. This board uses preponderance of the evidence. The police department uses clear and convincing evidence. Exactly the opposite is true in Berkeley, by the way, with its much more effective Citizen Police Review Board. They have this situation where their board uses a higher standard, and the police department uses preponderance of the evidence. So the council didn't support you on that, but what did you guys do? What did you women do? I know most of you are new here, but the previous board did nothing except talk about it in sessions and in committee meetings and talk for year after year, talk and talk. You have to go to the community and talk to them and bring the complaints forward that require a change in the rules. They have backed up the police chief's inquiry exception that allows them to bury so-called minor complaints, the City Council has. The City Council had no word of alarm for Chief Belcher after the fact, rewriting the Police Department Directive C-7 to frustrate the letter of the law that set up your board. If you wait, if you lie low, if you glad hand, if you give things a chance, if you just go along, you will find less and less reason, as most of us have, to attend these meetings at all. Sacrificing vigilance for diplomacy with the police, polite introductions all around, and a reading of the rules at the beginning of every meeting has brought one failure after another. Already the board has a hostile city attorney, an unhelpful independent counsel, a city manager in bed with the police chief. I'm talking about the issue of the C-7 directive, whereby the police chief unilaterally rewrote the entire rule on what he was doing to justify what he did. And the city manager said that was just fine. And a fundamentally flawed charter. You don't have an independent investigator available. You have to go to the City Council for that, and I wish you would. This board never has sought an independent investigator that I've ever heard of. Nor have you ever had one single solitary public review of any case. Never. Not once. How can the community have any confidence in what's going on if it all happens behind closed doors? what can be done? You must stop contenting yourself with showing up for closed review meetings and rubber stamping the police department's internal affairs department. Even when you oppose them, you may have noticed they ignore you. Then you go to the community and you speak out on the issues. Yes, you take the chance, you'll be considered an advocate rather than someone who is simply legalistically following procedures. When public hearings are asked for, hold them. When complainants, those few that remain, approach your office, directly inform them that they can and must ask for a public hearing if they want their issues to be publicly aired. If they don't want their issues to be buried in a confidential file, they need to come here as David Silva did and talk to you publicly, because otherwise, the manipulation of the process at the state legislative level means that all complaints filed to you become confidential documents in the police department, unless they come to this mic. Then they become public documents. Your office should inform complainants, come to the meeting, bring your complaint to the meeting, make it public at the meeting. That way, the police department cannot make it confidential. When the city council makes a bad call, or the police chief defends an indefensible policy, go public with your advocacy. It does no good to be silent and engage in schmoozing with council members that we don't hear about when they vote you down. You need to inform and educate the broader community. It will not win you points with the Police Officers Association, but it will earn you the respect of that part of the community that is suffering from police misconduct. These people are your real constituents, not the police department and not the city council. Deal with the issue of pepper spray and how dangerous it is. One homeless man already died after being sprayed up on California Avenue last year. There has been no investigation of this incident that I've heard of. Repeated efforts by Nick Whitehead to get your board to hold hearings on this issue have been unsuccessful. Instead, you seem to accept police department propaganda as though it were gospel. There are plenty of police review boards and critics in other cities that have plenty of information about how dangerous pepper spray is. You need to find that out. You need to air it here in Santa Cruz. Engage in real and systematic, regular outreach to the homeless and minority communities. If you want to hear from them, they must hear from you. How many of you have ever filed a complaint against the police department from a vulnerable position? It isn't an easy thing to do, and it isn't likely to happen unless you can convince them that it makes some sense to do so, that you are really going to examine that police complaint, that you are really going to give them not only just a fair hearing, but you're going to advocate for them if you find something's wrong, even if it's beyond the course of this regulation or that regulation. They need to feel that you as individuals are concerned about this. If you're not, you shouldn't be on this board. You shouldn't be on this board. You should be on another board, but you shouldn't be on this board. You must persuade these communities, homeless and minority, that you will take their concerns seriously. And I believe you can regain your self-confidence by contacting groups that have been more successful. Though police review boards find it a struggle everywhere, and this is true, such as the Berkeley Police Review Commission. Previously hobbled by conservative administrations in Berkeley, it is now regaining its power. You could do worse than take some advice from this grandmother of all review boards. Now, I'm going to give you a copy of a speech I made to the city council last time. And I'm going to briefly make a few notes on this. I know you're getting tired of hearing this.
Are you intending to read your entire speech?
No.
Oh, you can give us copies of it.
I will. I actually only have one or two copies. I'm hoping that perhaps Gary can make copies available to you. This speech is called Strangling the Pooch, Toy Poodle Police Review Goes Under. And it's kind of whimsically put. Many of us who have looked for a stronger board have always considered this board something of a toy poodle. That is to say, it kind of trots along and looks nice, but has no fangs, has no teeth, doesn't do anything. It's a nice pet for the police department and the city council to say, look how liberal a city we are. In this speech, you'll find me reviewing the history of the Police Review Board, and I think you may find that interesting and educational. Certainly, it's my perspective, and you can read it with that in mind. As I've already mentioned to you, the board was born without the kinds of powers that it really needs. What you need to do now is lobby and agitate and go to the public in search of those powers. You need independent counsel. You need to be able to work in subcommittees so all seven of you don't have to appear for a hearing so that you can do it in a more time-effective manner. You need to be able, and this again is a matter of fortitude, to confront police
police officers and the police chief when they are snowing you or stalling you. That's been happening for years. And that requires sometimes coming out front and saying it like it is, even if, you know, the police chief finds that regrettable. I disagree with Steve Belcher on many occasions. I've attacked him savagely for his policies. I don't think any less of him as a human being. But as individuals, we must stand up for the positions that we've taken here. The positions you've taken are members of the Citizens Police Review Board. I'm going to continue to recommend that members of the public come to the board to file complaints. And unfortunately, I can't really do this at this time in good conscience because I believe you'll do anything about them. Because judging from the past record of the prior board, which, you know, it is the prior board, but still, I haven't seen anything happen in that regard. And if you do something about them, the complaints that get sustained and go nowhere in the police department, we hear nothing from you. We hear no real outcry, no leading of the community to say, hey, what's going on here? I think it has to be your role to do that sort of thing, or at least some of you have to do that sort of thing. I thank you for your time. I'm going to leave you a fuller copy of the speech. It's quite long, and I find it interesting reading. And again, I'm not trying to personally attack any individual here. This is simply a deep concern I have that there really be a rectification of what is now very, very wrong. So instead of three members of the audience every month, you'll have 20 or 30 people who are concerned about this issue. Because I get three or four complaints a week from people on the streets. And I told them to go to the police review board, they come and look at me. So, thank you very much.
Thanks for your input.
And finally, let's hear an update on the Beat It controversy. Concerns about racial insensitivity by an employee at Beat It. And here's a report from Robin, who was one of the protesters out front, report from a couple days ago.
I guess on Sunday in front of Beat It, the store downtown that is accused of, beating down basic civil rights for some people. What's been happening at Beat It? Any updates?
Any updates? Well, let's see. I went in Monday morning of this week, and I was asked by the employees for my backpack, and there were two employees in the store, and I was the only customer, and I reminded them of their policy to not request backpacks whenever the store is not crowded, which clearly it wasn't. And then after I reminded that employee, I continued to look for some beads, and then a third employee came out of the back room into the merchandise area and after my backpack again.
Wow. And what happened after that?
Well, after that, the other employee told her that she had told me that it was okay for me to get my backpack, or that she had offered to take my backpack, which, of course, is incorrect because I was the one that reminded them. Hmm. And since then, I understand that the police have requested that the DA, I'm not sure exactly how it goes, but I think the police has sent information regarding my friend to the...
Taylor Neuville?
Yes. Mm-hmm. District Attorney's Office. And are trying to charge her with disturbing the peace.
And has she received any new word that, in fact, such charges are pending?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure what she's heard since the original phone call from the...
Have you guys done any further protesting in front of Beat It, or have you heard any more new statements from management?
No. However, there was a few interviews that were aired on KSPW Channel 8 last night.
Aha, how'd they go?
Well, pretty well. The interviews were okay. My husband and Taylor's husband and Taylor and another, some other customers who voiced their stories in relationship to Beat It. One customer who said, a white customer, who said that he's been in the store with many backpacks and, well, not many backpacks, but many packages and a backpack, and they've never asked for his packages or backpack.
Hmm.
Go ahead. Well, KSPW also talked to their attorney about the situation.
To Beat It's attorney. Or to Robin's attorney, which? Sorry, Robin, Taylor's attorney.
Just to
Beat It's attorney.
So they're essentially standing by their original story and not giving Taylor the apology that she's requested.
Did they hear the classic video that they claim exists that shows, what do they say? They claim it shows Taylor acting abusively or hurling the first insults or raising her voice first. I'm not quite sure what the
Yeah, that's what they're claiming. However, no videotape has been produced by Beat It.
Huh. Has there been any, there's been no move in terms of a mediation? Have they agreed to mediate again? Has Taylor agreed to mediate? What's happening with that?
I'm not sure about that at all.
And we're going to have to leave it with that. This is Bathrob Spears Broadsides. Thanks for being with us here on Free Radio Santa Cruz 96.3. Come on back next week, 11 o'clock on Sunday, and we'll try to be with you again for another two-hour show or thereabouts. Give me a call at 423-4833 if you have anything you want to add to this, if you've had any reactions. We'll hope to cover all sides of the Beat It controversy if it continues. Hopefully there'll be a mediation on this issue, and the issue will be resolved. In the meantime, keep your eyes open on the streets and support those who need your support. Don't allow injustice to go unanswered and unquestioned. Thanks again. This has been Bathrob Spears, Robert Norris, here at Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM in Santa Cruz, California.